is the day the Lord has made. We are glad to be here. And Ellen and I are always glad to be in this church. We have so many friends here. And I always meet several Bobs when I come into this church. So I'm really glad about that, to meet some other Bobs. But good to have you here. Good to be a part of this mission. So about a week and a half ago, I got a call at the office, and they said, Heath Marion's in the hospital. He'd already been there about a week, but that was the first I heard of it, so I said, well, I'm going to go check on him, and had a great visit with him and heard all that he has been through, so I've been praying for him daily, and I know he's making great progress, and I know you're praying for him, but I love Heath and his family and Ellen, and I appreciate he and Jamie, and good to be with you. And whenever I come into this church, I'm just always impressed by these flags around representing many different countries, people groups. I know at times y'all have had connections with many of these in some ways, either someone in your church or you're involved in some mission project. And it's just thrilling because it reflects what is happening in Dallas. Dallas is becoming an international mission field. So when you talk about missions, certainly, we want to give major emphasis to missions around the world and supporting and praying for and sending missionaries to all parts of the world to spread the gospel. But we also need to realize what God is doing around us, that He is sending people here. And so we need to do both. We need to reach out to the mission field that is far, and we need to reach out to the mission field that is near. And did you know every day the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, it's about 500 people that move to town. And 70% of them are foreign-born. And we have, it mentions there's so many million churches meeting today and so many billions of Christians are meeting in worship today. Did you know we'll have worship services in the Baptist churches of Dallas Baptist Association in about 38 different languages as we meet here today, and the people in those congregations represent about 80 different languages, but people in Dallas, in their homes, speak over 300 different languages. People have moved here from all over the world. This is a mission field, and so it's exciting to be a part. You're an Acts 1:8 church. As Jesus said, we're to be His witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And you are active here locally and globally, and that's what God wants every church to do. And I just applaud you for that and applaud you for a day and emphasis like this of Missions Sunday. You know, on your bulletin, it says missions at the Oaks. Did you know that word, missions, comes from a Latin word, missio? And it literally means sent. That's what it means. Missions is about being sent. And I want you to open your Bibles to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. And I'm going to read verses 19 through 23 in just a moment. But while you're looking that up, John chapter 20, verse 19 and following. I grew up here in Dallas. My parents were active in the church. My dad was a deacon from about 3 years old on. I've lived here in Dallas except when I went to college. And I have seen in my lifetime Dallas dramatically change. Even 30 years ago, and I'm more than twice that age, but 30 years ago, there were one in every 50 people were foreign-born in Dallas County. Today, it is one in every four people are foreign-born. And the number of languages in school districts is just growing astronomically. And throughout our population, we have discovered over 300 languages. A project that we are working on very hard right now is identifying unreached people groups that have moved here to Dallas. Now, an unreached people group is a language group, a cultural group, that they have some common characteristics about them. And the fact they're unreached means that there is no viable gospel ministry or church planting movement or churches trying to bring that people group into the kingdom. And so the overwhelming majority of people of that language and culture do not know Jesus Christ, and many have never heard the gospel of Christ. And so many of our mission organizations are focusing on how can we get missionaries to those unreached people groups around the world. Now let me tell you what else is happening. Unreached people groups are moving here. And we have been really burdened about that, to think, you know, we must respond to this opportunity. So one of the major emphases that we have is to identify the unreached people groups that God has sent here, that we might engage them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And, you know, the book of Acts says that God is the one who sets the times and places that people live. So because that is true, that means that when God is sending people from around the world, He is the one that's sending them here. And wouldn't it be a tragedy if someone from a country close to the gospel were to be sent here to Dallas and they live the rest of their life here and they never hear the gospel? I mean, that is just something we cannot let happen. If God has sent them here, we need to identify them, to love them with the love of Jesus Christ, and share the gospel with them. So that is a major thing we're praying about and working together with our International Mission Board and other associations around the Metroplex to join forces to try to identify and reach unreached people groups. And you're a part of that, and we appreciate you very much. You know, the Saturday a week ago, I was at the launch service of one of our newest congregations. And it is a congregation that is trying to reach people who have immigrated here from Liberia. It's the first truly Liberian congregation that we have had in our association. And they've already got about 40 in their core group. And their pastor, Joseph Muma, is from Liberia. And it was a wonderful time as we worshiped, and they have celebrated and started a brand new congregation. And that's what we need to do throughout this area, is reach out to the many different people groups that God is sending to us. Now, in John chapter 20, this is the story of the resurrection. So chapter 19, he is crucified, he is placed in the tomb, and John chapter 20 tells of when Jesus was resurrected and how he appeared. And that song we just sang a moment ago about how Jesus has overcome death, boy, just communicated the spirit and excitement that you find in reading in this passage about the resurrection of Christ. And in John chapter 20, there's a lady named Mary Magdalene who came to the tomb the next morning, that first Easter Sunday morning. And when she got there, she found the stone had been rolled away. She just assumed somebody had stolen his body. So she went to go tell Simon Peter and John. Now, John, who wrote this gospel, does not give his own name, but he just says, the other disciple. And he defines him as the one Jesus loves. And so there's no question that it was John that he was writing about himself. But Mary went to Peter and John and told them. And then the Bible says that they kind of had a foot race to get to the temple. And apparently, John was out ahead. He writes it down in the gospel to say he was out in front. But when he got to the tomb, he stopped, kind of looked in. But old Peter, he caught up and ran right past him. So I guess Peter passed the finish line first. But they both went in, and they saw the tomb was empty. They saw the grave clothes were laid there in such a way that they were like a cocoon that Jesus just resurrected, and they just fell. They weren't taken off and folded up. He was resurrected. And they began to realize a miracle has happened. Jesus is resurrected. Even though they didn't understand all the ways God had been telling them in the Old Testament that that's what must happen. But now they began to believe it. So they went back to the other disciples, and after they left, Mary was still there, John tells us, and she was weeping. And angels appeared, and they said, you know, remember what he said. And she turned around, and Jesus was there. She thought he was a gardener, and he called her by name. She realized who he was. I mean, these are thrilling, exciting verses, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then we come to verse 19, and listen to what it says. On the evening of that first day. This is the first Resurrection Sunday. First day of the week when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Those contrasts. They were afraid of the Jews who crucified Jesus. They were hiding away. And the first words, the resurrected Lord says, "Peace be with you." And after he said this, he showed them his hands, his side. And the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you." He said, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." I'll tell you, those are important words. Those are foundational words for what the mission of Jesus is and what our mission is in life. Jesus said, "As the Father has sent me." Did you know the theme of the whole Bible is really the mission of God? From the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible, it's talking about how God sent his Son and God has sent his servants to spread the good news. I mean, you take the book of Genesis, chapter 12, God calls Abram to go to a place that he would show him, and he said in Genesis chapter 12, he said, "Here's why I am sending you." He said, "I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. I will curse, and all the peoples of earth will be blessed through you." So early in the Bible, it says God was sending Abraham so that a nation would be established, and out of that nation, there would be a descendant who would be the Son of God. And that Son of God, Jesus Christ, would die on the cross for our sins and be resurrected. And through Christ, all the nations would be blessed. Nations like the ones represented in these flags around here. All the nations would be blessed. So from the very first book, God is sending. And it talks about how he is on mission. And then you go to the last book, Revelation, just verses before the book ends, it talks about Jesus says, "I, Jesus, have sent my angel." So this whole book is about God sending us. And so with that backdrop, and there are literally hundreds of examples or verses I could quote to you showing how God was on a mission, sending his servants, sending his Son, now sending his church out into the whole world. God is a sending God. In light of that background, Jesus said, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Now, he used two different words for send. When he said, "His Father sent me," he used the word apostello, kind of like apostles, that they are the ones who are sent. And then he used a word when he says, "I am sending you," that's pimpo, that just means sent to another, identical word, identical meaning, but two different words. And there's no significance, really, to these two different words because Jesus used them interchangeably throughout the Gospels. He would use them to talk about how the Father has sent him and how he's sending us, and he would use the words interchangeably. But what is significant is the tense of the words that Jesus used. Because when he says, "The Father has sent me," he used a tense that means it was in the past, but it is still going on in the presence. And the results of it are still very much in the presence. It's not a completed action in the past, because Jesus is still the sent one. He is still on mission. He is still reaching out to those who are lost. So he said, "As the Father has sent me." Yes, there was a point in time that he was sent here to the earth as a little child, and he lived here on earth, and he died on the cross, but he is still sent. He is still on mission, seeking those who are lost. And then he said, "As the Father has sent me," he said, "now I am sending you." And the tense he used this time means a present action. It is something that is in the here and now, and it is continually into the future. So he is saying, as I have been sent, and I am still very active today, as one who is still sent, I am now sending you, and now for the rest of your life, you're on mission, and you are sent. Now, when I was growing up here in Dallas, you know, my parents were active in church, and we went to a church, and I heard the gospel at home, and I heard the gospel at my church. And I remember a Sunday when the invitation was given by the pastor of my church that I felt the Holy Spirit tugging my heart. And the things that I had learned in my mind suddenly began to really make sense. And I came forward. And I prayed with my pastor. And I trusted Christ as my Savior. And the gospel became real to me. And I became a child of God. And later, as a teenager, I felt in a service God calling me into the ministry. And so I shared that with my church, and God continued to affirm that and has guided me for these many years in serving Him. And back in those days, I thought of it this way. I thought, boy, here we are, we're the home base, the mission base, and we need to minister to our city, we need to win people to Christ, but we also need to send people to the mission field and the other language groups and things like that. And so there was kind of in my mind, you're either called here or you're called there, and we're sharing the gospel wherever we go. But I tell you what I've learned in the process is that here is now a mission field. And so there's not really just a home field that is predominantly Christians and we're sending missionaries all over the world. It's both and. That Dallas is now an international mission field, and I'm not just called to be a minister. I'm called to be a missionary. Even though I live here, God's not called me to go to a foreign country. God has called me to be a missionary. I also am sent, just as my cousin, who is a missionary in Colombia, was called to go to that country and be a missionary there. I am called to be a missionary here. And that's true for you too. When Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. He said it to his disciples. But it's intended for all of his disciples. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, then you have been sent to a mission field. It may be this mission field. It may be, as we heard the scripture read in Indonesian, that the Crutchfields, I think, am I saying that correctly? They were called to that mission field. But God has sent all of us to be a missionary. That was a paradigm shift for me. I never considered myself a missionary. But that's exactly what I am, and that's exactly what you are in your neighborhood, in your place of work, in your school. And if you've looked around, your neighborhood is probably like mine. There's people from all over the world that are moving into our neighborhood. We have a program we call Pray for Every Home. You can go on our website, dba.net, and find out about it. And you can sign up. And what will happen is that it will identify 100 neighbors that live around your house. And it will lead you through praying for them 5 every day. And you go through the whole 100, and then you start again, and you're praying for them. But you have their name and their address. And what I'm finding out is that there's people from all over the world looking at the names and the languages that they speak. There's people from all over the world that have moved into my neighborhood. And I bet that's true about yours. Certainly true about our schools. And so we're a missionary. And just as missionaries are called to go to a foreign country and cross over cultural barriers to communicate the gospel, those of us who live here are called upon to cross over cultural barriers to reach those that God is sending here. And we're all missionaries. And so as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Now, think about that first word, as the Father has sent Jesus. So what was it about the ministry of Jesus that sets the model of how we're to be on mission for Jesus Christ? That we, if he did it in the same way, that we're called in the same way, then that means that Jesus is our example. Jesus is our Savior. He's also our model of how we're to conduct his ministry. And so I would point out that as you think about as Jesus did that, that one of the things we ought to think about is John chapter 1, where John explains how Jesus came. It says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. And in verse 14, what does it say? And the Word became flesh. There's one of the more recent translations of the Scripture says, and Jesus moved into the neighborhood. In other words, he came here. He came near. And by living in the neighborhood, by living here on earth, he was able to connect with people. That is a picture of how we're to be on mission with Jesus. To be on mission with Jesus means that I move into the neighborhood, that I get close with people, that I build relationships, that I get to know people, that I am concerned about people, that I try to get to know my neighbors and others that God introduces me to, that I am present in that situation, that I might be his spokesperson, his one who communicates. You know, one of the challenges that we have is that the way our neighborhoods are set up, that you can live in a neighborhood for a long time and not really get to know the people that live next door or down the street. And so you've got to intentionally do that. Jesus intentionally came here to earth, reached out to others. That's how the Father sent him. That's how we're to be on mission with Jesus. We need to see that we've been commissioned to go to all those around us. Another as application would be Philippians chapter 2. And it talks about how Jesus humbled himself and became a servant. And in the Gospel of Luke, it says that Jesus went to his home synagogue and he was honored and they asked him to read the Scripture. And you know the passage that they handed him the scroll and he turned to Isaiah. And he read the Scripture from Isaiah 61. And it's a passage about the Messiah. And it talks about how the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me. That's another verse about how God sent his Son, the Messiah. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to the prisoners. So Jesus took the scroll, he read that passage, and then he folded, rolled the scroll up and sat down and said, today this has been fulfilled in your hearing. I mean, he was clearly claiming to be the fulfillment of that passage. He was claiming to be the Messiah, the one that the Father has sent to be the Savior for the world. And in that, he describes his mission. And he says his mission is to bring good news, that's first and foremost, but also to bind up the brokenhearted, to meet the needs of those that we see around us. And so if we're going to be sent as the Father sent the Son, it means that I am concerned to share the good news of Jesus, and I follow in the good deeds that Jesus did. That as he met someone that had a need, he responded to it. And that is living out the gospel. So when I encounter somebody who's hungry, then I am trying to help meet that need. Or if I find someone who's homeless, or someone who has some kind of need, that I'm reaching out in the compassion of Christ. But I do not forget that the greatest need they have is not food or shelter or some other need, but it's to be forgiven. It's to know Jesus Christ. And if I feed someone who's hungry but do not share with them about Jesus Christ, then I've not tried to respond to their greatest need. If I help someone have a place to live who is homeless, but I've not showed them how they can have a home in heaven, then I've not met their greatest need. But the mission of Jesus Christ is a combination of the good news of the gospel and the good deeds of a loving Savior. And so if we are sent the way the Father sent the Son, it's defined by that passage in Isaiah, it's described by Paul in the book of Philippians, then it's saying that as a missionary of Jesus Christ, that I am sharing the good news and binding up the brokenhearted. I am living out the compassion of Jesus Christ. And I tell you what we are finding is that many times when we are showing the compassion of Christ, that opens up a door to share the gospel. That many of our churches, and I'm sure you are as well, is reaching out to needs in the community, needs in the city. And some people ask, why are you doing this? Well, it's because of Jesus Christ. And now we're able to share the good news about Him. So the mission of Jesus Christ is the good news and the good deeds combined together. And as the Father sent the Son, He has sent you and He sent me. And in this passage, Jesus said that John said He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. It's not only that we've been sent, but we are sent with the power of the Holy Spirit. And without the Holy Spirit, we are powerless to do anything of great eternal impact. We cannot do this task on our own. He has given to us a task that we cannot do by ourselves. We are not smart enough, nor have the ability or the knowledge that we must have. Our best strategy is this: be obedient to the Holy Spirit. Just follow the Holy Spirit. And if you follow the Holy Spirit, God will arrange things you could never figure out and never orchestrate. You take the book of Acts, and you see how the church impacted the world. And what you'll find is that the main strategy is that the early church was just following the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And so Paul, on his missionary journeys, he didn't map out, you know, okay, I'm going to go here and go here and go here. As he got somewhere, he said, Lord, where to next? Acts chapter 16, they were trying to go different ways, and the Lord closed some doors and then opened the door, and He got a vision to go to the Macedonia and help them. God, the Holy Spirit was leading them moment by moment, and that's the greatest strategy of all, because this is more about Him than it is about us. It's more about His ability than our ability, and that's where the role of the Holy Spirit is so critical. You want to be on mission with God. You say, Lord, I am available. I am obedient. As Your Holy Spirit empowers me and leads me, then I will be obedient to the Holy Spirit. And God will do things you never thought possible. I tell you, every morning, our staff, when we gather, the first thing we do is pray together. And we pray about specific needs, and we pray about concerns in our churches that we're aware of. We pray about the lost. And we pray Luke 10:2. It says, pray to the Lord of the harvest that He will send laborers into the harvest field. And we find that God answers that prayer. A week does not go by. There's not somebody calling us that saying, hey, I'm feeling called in this area or in that area. And we just walk alongside listening to what the Holy Spirit is saying and how we might join that person and be a part of what God is doing. Last Sunday morning, before I went and preached at one of our churches, Ellen and I went to a small Hispanic congregation in a part of Dallas near downtown. 30 years ago, that was a small Anglo congregation, and the neighborhood had changed. It was almost predominantly Hispanic, and that elderly Anglo congregation disbanded, and they gave the building to DBA, and we put a Hispanic congregation that has ministered to that neighborhood for these many years. But now another change has happened in the last 10 years. All those homes are being bought up by developers, and they're building luxury apartments and luxury condos, and now this little Hispanic congregation is completely surrounded by a whole different population. They don't speak Spanish. They speak English. And the Hispanics had to move further away. And so last Sunday morning, we just met with a pastor and just talked about, you know, would it be a possibility that maybe while you continue to meet here and minister to your congregation and others who speak Spanish in this community, if another church might also share the building with you that could reach some of the English-speaking people that now live right across the street from this church. And pastor is very open to that. And we're just trying to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. The next morning, I was driving to our pastor's conference. I get a call out of the blue from a pastor that I met in seminary and in a city nearby, but not in Dallas. But he grew up here in Dallas. And he said, Bob, I am going to retire. I'm already let my church know we're working towards that. But I'm not through. God's not through. He has more he wants me to do. And I would love to go back to the neighborhood that I grew up in and start something to try to reach people that are there. And it was that very neighborhood. That's the Holy Spirit working things we could never orchestrate. That's how this task will be done. That's how the mission of Jesus is done. It is by His power, His Spirit, not ours. It's not by might. It's not by power, but it's by His Spirit, the prophet said. So Jesus said, receive the Holy Spirit. And then He said, if you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive, they are not forgiven. Now, He was not saying to the disciples, you have the authority to forgive sin. Only God has the authority to forgive sins. But what He was saying is clearly this. The most important need that people have is to be forgiven. And that only comes through knowing Jesus Christ. And so as we minister to people, as we show them the love of Christ, as we do many things that are good deeds in our community, threaded through all of that is taking every opportunity to tell people how they can be forgiven through Jesus Christ. That's our mission. As the Father has sent the Son, Jesus said, I am sending you and you. And you, and you, and me, we are sent as His missionaries to join Him in His mission. Would you bow your heads for just a moment? Your heads are bowed. Maybe these scriptures have spoken to your heart about a specific way God is sending you into this mission field. That you are one of those laborers that Jesus asked us to pray for. Maybe you have been thinking about the gospel, and like I was as a little boy in that church, the Holy Spirit began to put all that together. Maybe God is calling you to receive Him as your Savior. If you don't know Jesus Christ, that's the most important decision you can make, to just say, Lord, I trust in You as my Savior and Lord, and You will be forgiven and given an eternal relationship with the Lord. Maybe you're visiting and God is leading you here. This is a wonderful church, wonderful pastor. God's leading you here. You will connect more with God's mission that you're sent for if you belong to a church. Join hands with other believers to reach a community.